I'd like to turn with you, please, to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, firstly. Isaiah chapter 9. If you've not got a Bible with you, don't worry. I'm going to just read it as clearly as I can. Just listen along, and I'll be as clear and plain as I can. I've got a few readings, one in the Old Testament, and two in the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 9. This is a passage that is often and commonly read at Christmas time. But I just want to pick out a phrase. It's an expression, it's a title of the Lord Jesus himself. Hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came, I might add. But I want to read verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," and this is the title I want to pick up, "the Prince of Peace." The Prince of Peace. Now over, please, to John's Gospel in chapter 18. John's Gospel and chapter 18. Over in the New Testament, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then you've got John. And chapter 18 and verse 1 says this: "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas," and this is the man I want to speak about tonight, "Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they," and I take that to mean including Judas, "went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." Then over to the book of Matthew, the first gospel writer, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 27. And verse 3, Matthew 27 and verse 3 says this: "Then Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned," that's when he saw that the Lord Jesus was condemned, "repented himself." Well, the margin might say, having regretted it. He regretted the decision he had made to betray the Lord Jesus. He regretted it. He repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And we trust that God will add a blessing to his good word. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking with a man. In fact, the man I first met him, Kate met him first. She was walking on the beachfront, and there was a couple sitting on a bench, two bottles of wine underneath the bench. They were getting a little bit beyond, they were just getting a little bit sort of impaired. And she started to engage with them in a conversation, and she managed to invite them to some gospel meetings that we are having. And I never met the man. Kate was walking with the children alone, and we were out and about. This man came to the gospel meeting. And probably because he was most of the way through a bottle of wine and whatever else he'd been taking through the day, he was shouting out in the meetings. And as we were preaching the gospel on this occasion, he was shouting out in the meetings. He says, I can't find peace. I can't find peace. That was his problem. That was his problem. Couldn't find any peace. You see that man talking to him after the meeting, going backwards and forwards in a dialogue with him about his life and some of the experiences that he had experienced. He had tried everything that this world had and had consistently, time and time and time again, come up empty. My friend, there's nothing that will dry you out like this world. And there's nothing that will satisfy like my Saviour. We love to present him to you. There's nothing greater that we can tell you about And so, friend, I want to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about this man, Judas, because this man, Judas, I think was a man similar to the man that was shouting out in the meetings, you know. He was a man that could not find peace. And yet Judas was a man, he had no peace, and yet he walked with the Prince of Peace. He walked with the Prince of Peace, but he still had no peace. And it just shows the very sad reality that it's possible to come this close to finding peace, because peace isn't just a feeling. Peace isn't just a state of mind. It resides in a person. It's when you come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he's done at the cross that you put down your weapons and the war with God is over. If you were to look in the dictionary about what peace means, peace has sort of two different definitions, really. It means freedom from disturbance or tranquility, or it also can mean a state of a state or a period where there is no war or a war has ended. You see, if we read in the headlines tomorrow there is peace between Ukraine and Russia, we would know that the tanks were stood down, the weapons were placed on the floor, that there was no more hostility, there was no more aggression, there was no more animosity against those two nations, one towards the other, and the fighting and the violence had stopped. You see why men and women in this world have no peace? It's because we're at war with God. We're at war with God. God has told us how he wants us to live. And just like our great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam, all the way back, God said, he said, you can eat of all of these trees of the garden except one. Adam didn't look at all the abundance and the bounty and the variety and all of the things that God had given him to. No, he singled in, really. Eve too. Eve first. But singled in on one thing that God had said, no, it's better for you not to eat that. It's better for you not to do that. You see, we live in this world. We are the creatures of the Creator. And he's told us how he wants us to live. He's told us the best way to live. But we say, no, actually, we want to tell the lies that we tell. We want to steal the things we want to steal. We want to feel the greed and the lust and the envy and the corruption. We want to imbibe the intoxicating things. We want to just go in for the things. We don't want God to tell us how to be. And so we shake our fists at God and we say, I know your word says this. Because as soon as we sin, we know we've sinned, don't we? Maybe you can sin so much that you stop feeling that, of course. But we know when we've done something wrong. We've got that conscience, that hardwired conscience in. And that conscience, somebody has said like this, that the conscience is like the light that pops up on the dashboard, you know? You're driving along and the light pops up and it says, something's wrong here, something's wrong. And you can listen to that light. Or you can take the hammer and you can smash out the light. Or you can take the duct tape and put a piece over it. You can cover it up and, But eventually, whatever that issue, whatever that problem is with the engine in your car as it pops up on the dashboard, eventually it's going to come around and, well, you're going to find actually that Should have listened. That feeling you're experiencing, friend, if you're without a Savior tonight, that feeling of restlessness, that feeling of an absence of peace, finding no satisfaction. You've tried this and you've tried that and your friends say, what about that? And what about this? And what about the other thing? You're searching and searching and searching and you just can't find peace. This man Judas was like that. He had no peace. He was a troubled soul, really, wasn't he? I think Judas probably could rightly be described as the most tragic individual in the New Testament. The most tragic individual in the New Testament, because here he is and he's with the Lord Jesus, but the Bible tells us that he had the bag, the band of disciples. It would seem that they sort of pulled their money together. And, well, Judas, he slipped in and slipped out of that bag, probably not once, probably not twice, a number of times, just in and out, take some money, just steal, just the things, my integrity, my character, the person that I am is, it's more important to get the new coat or the new pair of sandals or whatever it was that Judas particularly wanted. He wanted something else. He wanted the next thing, the new thing. And he went in for the things of this world and he thought money would satisfy him. And so he started going to unjust and sinful means to obtain that money. And he started stealing from the bag. And he had in his mind that material possessions would equal a sense of peace. Can I tell you, my friend, you can get the bigger house, the extra bedroom. You can drive the newer car with less miles and less years on it. You can have all the extra zeros in the bank balance that you like. But it won't bring peace. It won't bring peace. There was a famous tennis player that was interviewed. Forget his name, it's a Swedish name. Bjorn Borg. Is it Boris Becker? Anyway, he was interviewed anyway, and he had won multiple Grand Slams. Multiple Grand Slams at the peak of his athletic performance, at the best that he could possibly be. And as he's interviewed, he says, "It satisfies me just for a few moments. And I've got to do it again next year." Oh, he might have won next year, and then he's won it again, and he holds the trophy, and then a few moments after he puts the trophy down on the table, that's back to training, back to doing it again, and it just never satisfied. And whether it's material possessions, or whether it's sporting achievements, or whether it's the accolades of men, I'll ask you a question. Can anybody here tell me do you have a president here or a prime minister? Prime minister. Can anybody tell me the prime minister of Australia 100 years ago? Can anybody tell me who won the cricket? Who was the captain of the cricket team who won 50 years ago? Nobody knows these people. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't bring peace. And whatever you're seeking for, it won't bring you peace. You see, Judas, he had no peace. He went in for worldly goods. And he was manipulative and conniving and deceitful and deceptive. And all of those things marked his character. And yet every day he woke up and he was this close to the Lord Jesus the whole time. Can I say it's great to see you tonight? Because as we preach the gospel, the Lord Jesus is this close. I believe this with every fiber of my being, that you don't have to come to 100 gospel meetings. You don't have to attend the gospel hall for 10 years and a decade and more. You just need to close that little gap of understanding who the Lord Jesus is and what he's done as the Prince of Peace. Judas had no peace. Judas walked with peace. So every day he gets up and he's walking with the Lord Jesus. And for some 3 years, he's walking with the Lord Jesus. He's on the journeys with the Lord Jesus. And they're having conversations backwards and forwards. And the disciples and the conversations going. He's listening to the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you this for free. The man Judas never met a man like the Lord Jesus. He never met anybody to compare to him. There was nobody like him in the band of 12. There was nobody like him amongst his friends and his peers and the people he went to school with. There was nobody like him at all because as this man walked, he just had an unhurried tranquility about him. Do you know you never read about the Lord Jesus running in the Bible? The Lord Jesus was never late. And the Lord Jesus was never early. He was just always exactly where he wanted to be, exactly in an unhurried tranquility. What a lovely quality. And Judas watches this unhurried, tranquil, peaceful man as he moves. And Judas listens to the conversations as they go backwards and forwards. And even the religious elite, they come and they try and corner the Lord Jesus and trick him and trap him in his words. And they want to make an example of him. They don't like him. They don't want him teaching anymore. And they come to him with some really difficult questions. The kind of questions that would make you a little hot under the collar and make you sort of flap and flustered a bit. And yet the Lord Jesus, completely unflustered, just answers them. They bring an adulterous woman to his footstep, to his feet. Moses says we should stone her. What do you say? Well, whoever's among you that's without sin, you cast the first stone. And they all start to leave. What a peaceful answer. No bloodshed, no stones thrown. And yet he speaks to the woman now and she says, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Oh, what sweet music to that woman's ears. Oh, she's guilty. She knows she's guilty. But the Lord Jesus doesn't condemn her. He's the only one. He said, who among you, not including himself in that group, he's separating himself. Who is among you without sin? Because he himself was without sin. He was the only one who had the moral right to condemn that woman. And yet he says, neither do I condemn thee. You know what else he says? Go and sin no more. What a lovely answer from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Nobody ever spoke such words of peace. He truly is the Prince of Peace. And so Judas walked with peace. Judas was on the boat. He's on the boat there as the Lord Jesus is in the lower part there. And these disciples are getting all, they're getting all upset because there's such a storm. And these are men, and some of them were tax collectors. Some of them were all sorts of things, but some of them were fishermen, right? They knew the lake, they knew the storm, and yet they are fearful. They are fearful. And they wake the Lord Jesus up and they rock him, they shake him on the shoulder and they say, Lord, do you not care? We're perishing. You might be asking that question tonight and wondering if anybody cares. You just feel like you've tried everything. You've gone everywhere. You've done everything. There's nothing else. You're perishing. You know that life's going to come to an end for you. And you're just crying out. Would there be somebody here tonight that would cry out, Lord, I'm perishing. What a great place to get to. I'm a sinner and I'm perishing. What a realization to come to, that you're perishing, that one day life will come to an end, that there's a terminus for life's journey for you, and you're going to perish. And they get the Lord Jesus and they say, we're going to perish. Life's journey is going to come to an end for us, Lord. I don't think he woke up and raced to the front of the ship. He just stood and moved to the front of the ship. And in the midst of the storm, you'll allow me the picture, won't you? I just see him there on the front of the boat and he raises his arms and he says, peace! Be still. Do you know what the disciples are saying? They say, what manner of man is this? That even the winds, even the waves, they obey him. Judas watches this and he's walking with peace. He's living day by day this close to the Lord Jesus. He doesn't trust him. Doesn't believe in him. You know, Judas, he looks at the Lord Jesus and he works out in his mind, I could get a little bit of profit here. He looks at the Lord Jesus and he miscalculates in a monumental miscalculation of judgment. And he looks at the Lord Jesus and he says, I could get some more money. My friend, you might be able to get more money. You might be able to not go in and interest yourself too much with the person of the Lord Jesus. You might be able to get more money out there in the world. That's what Judas did. He said, I would rather not have the Lord Jesus. I would rather have an extra 30 pieces of silver. Judas, I just wonder why it wasn't in the mind of Judas and in the mind of the chief priests, why it wasn't that scripture in Zechariah that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And then as they talk among themselves, we won't put this money in the treasury once Judas has cast it down. We'll buy the potter's field. That was a prophecy hundreds of years. And these men were religious men that could have quoted large portions of the Old Testament scriptures to you. And yet it never twigged. It never... They say, no. Judas says, I'd rather have this 30 pieces of silver and sell the Lord Jesus. Can I ask you, my friend, is there anything else that you would rather have than him? The people that get God's salvation are the people that make salvation a priority. Nobody gets God's salvation when there's the Lord Jesus here, but there's also all of this other things that you would like to do. When there's the career to go after, and well, I'll just try and bolt the two. No, salvation has to be the pinnacle, the primary, the most important thing. There's nothing else that really matters because you're perishing. Life's going to come to an end one day. And here's the Lord Jesus right here. And what he did on the cross is enough to save you. My friend, are you interested in salvation? Are you interested in coming to know the Prince of Peace? You see here, Judas, he walked with peace. He was close to peace. He was so close that he kissed him. Betrayed him with a kiss. No wonder the Old Testament says that my own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me. I wonder if you've ever been betrayed. I tell you, the Lord Jesus knows what that feels like. Here's a friend. He's walked with him for 3 some years. He's heard him teach. He's watched him. He's observed him. He's seen who he is and what he's like. And he's just been given the sop. That I'm told by those that know Jewish culture that was a sign of respect. That was a sign for the honored guest. And he gives that sop to Judas. And Judas had already made that agreement with those religious leaders. I'll bring him to the place. And it's the person, it's the man who I placed the kiss on. That's who to take. And then Judas watches in the garden. The power of Christ just at the spoken word as the Lord Jesus steps forward again, a man of peace. And he just steps forward unhurried, unflustered. Here they are. They're going to take him to his death. They're going to take him to the cross. They're going to take him to Pilate's judgment hall. They're going to send him to Herod. They're going to mock him. They're going to beat him. They're going to abuse him. They're going to brutalize him. And here the Lord Jesus, he knows everything that's about to befall him at Calvary. He knows everything that's going to befall him. And unhurried, he says, who are you looking for? They say, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. He didn't hide, he didn't shrink back, but the announcement of who he was, they all go backward. They all fall over to the floor. I think the way I read that, I think Judas was in that group, fallen down now, just at the announcement of the power, of the announcement of the word of, sorry, of the title of deity. I am he. Still didn't dawn on him who he was, what he was going to do, all of the things he had talked about, the Son of Man being delivered, the death that he would die, the resurrection that he would, where he would rise from the dead on the third. Didn't none of that interested him. He was so close to peace. Can I say, friend, that one of the greatest tragedies, I think one of the greatest tragedies of all eternity, is somebody coming this close to salvation and finding themselves in hell. Is there anything more solemn in this world than understanding who the Lord Jesus is, his person? Understanding that great work that he did there at the cross. Understanding that God is satisfied with his son. And being this close to salvation. Being this close to the Lord Jesus. Being this close to peace itself. And turning your back on it for something of the world. And for all the endless ages of eternity. Knowing that you are that close. Somebody said this, if hell were for 1,000,000 years, at least it would have its end. Oh, friend, if we believe, and we do, that the Bible teaches that there's an eternal bliss at the right hand where there is pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy, the scriptures tells us. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the believer, for the Christian. It's eternal. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal, everlasting life. A never-ending life. If we believe that that is eternal, the judgment for rejecting such a one is eternal, friend. The gospel message is not a game. We've not come here to entertain. We've not come here to kind of tickle your ears for a few minutes with some nice stories. No, my friend, we've come to plead with you on behalf of God himself. We stand between the living and the dead, and we want to present you to such a wonderful Savior, to a man who will give you that peace and that satisfaction, that deep-rooted, deep-seated joy that this world can give you nothing even to scratch the surface of. My question to you, my friend, is, are you going to be like Judas and come this close? Or will you take him tonight as your Savior? Having seen what he did, Judas sought peace in the wrong place. Do you know what's even more sad about this man, Judas, is he took his own life and he sought peace in the wrong place. He sought peace beyond the grave. The feelings and the emotions of his heart, he realized that he had betrayed the innocent blood of the Lord Jesus. He'd done nothing wrong, he was innocent. He takes his silver and he throws it back down in the temple. And he goes out, and the anguish of soul that he experiences, he takes himself and hangs himself, takes his own life. Judas had the thought in mind, if I end my life, then the mental and emotional contortions that I'm going through, they'll come to an end. Can I tell you something, friend? They only just began. Oh, what a tragedy, friend. What a tragedy. The anguish of soul for that man is just as real and raw for him today in hell as it was the first 5 minutes when he dropped and the rope tightened around his neck. We had a man come to us from an assembly nearby back home. He's a brother in the assembly in Wallingford. He was a tree surgeon. He came to our assembly to preach the gospel, just newly saved, baptized, and in the assembly in Wallingford. Lovely, lovely brother. As he told his testimony as a tree surgeon, he was telling about how he had a rope in his back of his van at one point in time that he carried around for 2 years. And he carried that rope, and for 2 years, at each job he went to, his life was so low, his childhood so horrific, his background so dark, his sin so real and raw to him, as he went from job to job cutting trees down for a living and pruning them back, he had a rope specified in the back of his van that he was intending to take his own life. I'm very glad that the Lord Jesus met him before he did it. The Lord Jesus came and met him. He met him in all his sin. Sometimes people have this idea that you've got to clean up your act before you come to God. But do you clean yourself up before you get in the shower? No, you don't. It's the shower that does the cleaning. And when you come to God, you just come just as you are, in all your sin, in all your wretchedness, in all your filth, in all your vileness, in just the way that you are. And you come to God and you say, I know that what you did at that cross is enough to make the foulest clean. And my friend, would to God tonight that somebody would realize they're perishing. Would to God tonight somebody would realize that they're lost, that there's no peace. But we pray, friend, that tonight you would come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the Prince of Peace. And by coming to trust him and the finished work that he accomplished there at Calvary, that you would come to trust him and experience the truest, most real sense of peace as the hostility and the war between you and God is over. And you trust him as your Savior. We present him to you again. And we trust and we pray that you would take the gospel message seriously and the person of the Lord Jesus seriously, and you would come to find in him a wonderful Prince of Peace. We trust that God will add a blessing to his word, shall we pray.